Macabre misfortune.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 79 of Macabre Misfortunes. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, sometimes we, on this particular episode of Macabre Misfortune, we discuss the life of musicians. We've done probably four or five of them so far.
We have.
But today, we are going to focus on one particular song.
What is that?
That would be Zombie by the Cranberries. So this song actually has a very sad backstory that I wanted to share with people because I don't know how many people know about the backstory. They know the song.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty popular song. I don't know if everybody knows why it was written.
You know what I want to know?
What?
How do these bands come up with their names? I mean, how do you come up with the name Cranberry? Your baby's having cranberries for Thanksgiving dinner and then was like, dang, man.
I don't think that happened here because they're in Ireland, so they don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
They don't?
No.
Why?
Do you remember what Thanksgiving is here? It's the celebration of when the Pilgrims and the Native Americans got together and shared a feast.
Oh.
So that really doesn't come into play in Ireland.
Oh.
So.
Well, they could join us.
All right. So let's get a little more into it. The Cranberries was in, I guess they are. I don't know if they're still together or not. But the Cranberries were an Irish band who achieved international fame with their multi-platinum debut record, 1993's Everybody Else Is Doing It, So Why Can't We?
I like that attitude.
It's a long title.
Yeah, that's very true.
But in 1994, the band would release its biggest song of their career. This was right ahead of their second album, No Need to Argue. So we're going to bounce to September 94. The band released Zombie. So here is the dark story behind the song. Zombie was an anti-war anthem that took aim at the religious violence that was happening in Northern Ireland at the time, also known as the Troubles.
Oh, the Troubles.
The Troubles.
Okay.
It was completely different than the music of the band's first album. But by this point, the violence in Northern Ireland was actually relentless, and it was occurring almost on a weekly basis. 3,500 people had died and tens of thousands injured in over 30 years of this conflict.
Damn, very sad.
There was one incident in particular that inspired the song. March 20th, 1993, explosives hidden under a garbage can in the city Warrington in northwest England took the lives of a 3-year-old boy and a 12-year-old boy.
Oh my gosh.
They were brothers. The blast also injured dozens of others. The two boys had gone shopping on one of the busiest shopping streets in town. And do you know what they were looking for?
No.
A Mother's Day card.
Bless her heart. Daggone it.
At the same time, the Cranberries were on tour in the UK. Front woman Dolores O'Riordan was on the band's tour bus in London when she saw the news and heard about the deaths of the two boys. This would stick with her until the end of her life. Dolores said that's why in the song she says, "It's not me," that even though I'm Irish, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Because back then, when all this was going on, it was really tough being Irish in the UK because there was so much tension because they were just the two red odds all the time.
But why was she thinking they were going to pinpoint her just because she was Irish?
Not that she actually physically actually was involved, but just because of the fact that all Irish were condemned.
Condemned. Oh, man.
So, you know, you're Irish. There you go. You know. So that's kind of what she was saying. She said it was a tough thing to sing about, But when you're young, you don't think twice about things. You just grab it and do it. As you get older, you develop fear and you get more apprehensive. So this song was originally written by O'Riordan on an acoustic guitar late one night when she was by herself. She took it to rehearsal and they end up playing the song on an electric guitar. And then she told the drummer to just go ahead and beat the hell out of the drums. And so it started out acoustic and turned into a rocker.
Oh, wow. Funny how things work out, isn't it?
It is. Well, the Cranberries label, Island Records, urged them not to release this politically urgent song as a single. The label even offered them $1 million to do work on a completely different song. O'Riordan ripped up the check.
Dang.
She said, no. Let me think about it. No.
No.
The Cranberries were popular, but Zombie skyrocketed them into the stratosphere. The music video, if you haven't seen it, was definitely one that stood out. It featured clips from the conflict in Northern Ireland, and it had O'Riordan painted gold in the video, and then she was in the company of like a bunch of silver cherubs with little arrows and stuff underneath at her feet.
Oh, so you said that, okay, so the people videotaped the fighting that was going on?
Yeah,
so
the video. The
and
video,
then you added it in there?
There was video of that, and then there was some stage stuff.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The director was Samuel Bay, and he had a pretty impressive resume. He did the Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit video, Blind Melon's No Rain, and a bunch of other popular ones at the time. Bay flew to Belfast shortly before the ceasefire to get some footage of the area to be able to put in the video. Inside, if you go back and watch the video, it actually features real-life British soldiers and some of the local children. So those weren't actors. Upon its release, Zombie would hit number one in several countries across the world. Then, at the MTV Music Awards, the band beat out Michael Jackson and TLC to win Best Song Award. The band also got to perform at the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony.
Dang,
how
man.
How cool is that?
That is very cool.
Not bad for a song that the record company didn't want to put out.
Yep. Wonder how much they were kicking their butt after that.
I don't know. I can't tell you how many times these record labels are completely wrong about what to put out.
Yep.
The album, based on the strength of Zombie, would sell 20 million copies. Not bad.
Amazing.
For a follow-up to a multi-platinum debut. Zombie's video, believe it or not, has hit 1 billion views on YouTube.
Excuse me, a billion?
A billion.
What?
Bad Wolves did a cover of this in 2018. Very good cover, I think. O'Riordan was actually supposed to be on the song as like a special guest, but she unfortunately passed away before she could cut her part.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. The band, Bad Wolves, donated $250,000 to O'Riordan's three children.
Well, that was nice.
Yes, it was. Dolores O'Riordan, by the way, her death was officially listed as an accident due to alcohol intoxication and drowning.
Oh, no. She's drinking in the tub.
I think that's actually is what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
I think, but I'm not 100% sure. Tracy, just to cover some of the lyrics, and then I'm going to play you a clip after this. Of what we're getting ready to talk about. Because I don't think everybody listens to lyrics of songs. Sometimes it's just, you know, hey, if you got a good beat, you know, I can dance to it, whatever. Right. And they'll even sing it or hum it, but they're not really paying attention.
Well, I mean, how many times have I told you about Hotel California? That still freaks me out to this day.
Right.
I'm just singing along, not knowing it's really not a good song. I mean, it's a good song, but the lyrics are awful. There's
a song by Blues Traveler called Hook.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and listen to that song, it basically says, it doesn't matter what you say as long as the song has a good hook. And people, you can hear the words very plainly, but you probably didn't stop to think
about
that's
it.
Really what he's talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah.
But so here's some of the words from Zombie. The song actually starts off with this lyric. Another head hangs lowly. Child is slowly taken. And the violence caused such silence. Who are we mistaken? But you see, it's not me. it's not my family. In your head, they are fighting with their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. In your head, they are crying.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's hear that real quick. Tracy, as you can see, that's the lyrics are very sad.
Very sad.
The song. Now, this wasn't originally part of what we wrote, but I just thought I would discuss it a little bit because some of these songs just have upbeat tempos.
Yes.
But are sad songs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually start diving into the lyrics. And we mentioned that the director, Bay, he actually directed the Blind Melon video, No Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that song is super upbeat. It's got the, you know, it's got the finger snapping and stuff like that. That song is about as depressing as it gets when you actually read the lyrics. I want to read this to you, and then I'm going to play it because just this little part because I want you to hear it. He says, "I just want someone to say to me, I'll always be there when you wake. You know, I'd like to keep my cheeks dry today, so stay with me, and I'll have it made." So when he says, "I want to keep my cheeks dry today," he's basically saying he don't want to cry. Again.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have thought that that's, you know, and there's some other stuff in that song, but that's the one that always got me. You know, he says, "You know, all I can do is pour some tea for two and speak my point of view, but that's not sane."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very self-deprecating.
And it is, but you really amaze me because you talk about. You know a lot about music, and like we'll be listening to a song in the car or something, and you'll say, "Do you know the meaning behind this song? Why they wrote this song?" And man, I have learned so much, and it's really very interesting.
Like you got to learn earlier today how Smells Like Teen Spirit got its name.
Dude, I know. That's almost funny. That was funny, I guess. So, yeah. So, what do you say? He thought he heard some girl talking about it.
Somebody had written on a wall that Kurt smells like Teen Spirit, and he thought it was like he embodies the Teen Spirit. He didn't realize Teen Spirit was a deodorant.
Right.
But that's how the song got its name.
Oh, I think that's so funny. And look how that's so funny because he thought it was something totally opposite. And look how what a great song that is.
Yeah, the song has nothing to do with it. I don't think it tells anything about Teen Spirit even in the song.
No. But I'm just saying, it's so funny how people like will hear certain things, you know, and they'll like, "Hey, I think I could write a song about that or whatever."
But let's listen to this little snippet of this Blind Melon song so you can see, if you haven't heard it, how upbeat it is. And then now that you know the words to this part, because I'm going to play the part that I just read, you will be able to say, "Oh, it's funny, that really doesn't go in this type of a song," but So let's listen real quick. "I just want someone to say to me, I'll always be there when you wake. Yeah, you know I like to keep my cheeks dry today. So stay with me and I'll have it made." All right, Tracy, again, this wasn't something I was going to speak of either, but we were talking about this earlier about songs that had upbeat that actually are very depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And you were surprised when I brought up the song Umbop by Hanson.
Yeah.
Because most people, I doubt, other than Umbop, I bet most people don't even know the words to the song.
Nope.
Or very little. I want to read you. Keep in mind, these kids were like 10, 11 years old, 12 mm-hmm. years old, basically, when they wrote this. I think the older brother, was a little mm-hmm. bit old. Well, the middle one is the one who wrote it, but I think the oldest brother was a little older than that. But anyways.
Oh, that makes sense.
Listen to some of these.
Do you know what you just said, how stupid that sounded?
No, what did I say?
You said the middle brother wrote it, but the older brother... What did you say?
I don't know.
I don't know, but it was dumb.
I'm sure it was jacked up.
It was.
So we'll just
That's
forget
okay.
all that.
All right, forget it.
Because it's not like I'm going to edit it out.
So if you edited out everything that was jacked up we say, we wouldn't have any show.
Listen to the beginning verse of Oombop and tell me if you would have thought the song was this deep.
Okay.
You have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two will last. You go through all the pain and the strife, then you turn your back and they're gone so fast. Oh, yeah. That part's not deep. And then they're gone so fast, yeah. Oh, so hold on to the ones who really care. In the end, they'll be the only ones there. And when you get old and start losing your hair, can you tell me who will still care? Can you tell me who will still care?
I mean, that's pretty deep for young kids. I wonder if they had, like, divorced parents or something.
No, their parents are actually big advocates and spent a fortune to help them get where they needed to be. They had very supportive parents.
Yeah, those are pretty serious words.
But, I mean, you wouldn't think with a song that's upbeat and poppy, you know, kind of a pop sound and all that, you wouldn't think that was the lyrics that go with that song.
Yeah, not at all.
But anyway, let's listen to that, and then we're going to get you out of here. All right, guys, that wraps it up for us this week. We appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed this little backstory on a couple of songs with that only intended on being one.
I know. That was fun. I never knew those either. So. Just learn something new from you all the time, honey.
All right, guys, we love you. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.